The gypsy woman told my mother before I was born, I got a boy child coming. He's gonna be a son of a gun. He's gonna make pretty women jump and shout. Then the world wanna know what's this all about. I got a black cat bone, I got a mojo too, I got the John the Conqueror, I'm gonna mess with you, I'm gonna make you girls, lead me by my hand, then the world I know, the hoochie coochie man, but you know I'm here.
Y'all know I got to cut it short. I just got to cut it short because I already got the hoochie coochie man, Andre Vice, on the other line. I mean, he's waiting with bated breath. But first off, let me tell y'all a little about the happenings of today and yesterday. The flyers for the Rihanna concert tickets have been distributed somewhat, not fully, because we got to tease y'all a little bit. You know, for we please you. So, but we're getting great response already. They was talking to this guy that's distributor, Mr. Eric Wade, and as he's talking to the people out there in the street, they're asking more and more about what's going on, what's going on. Tell them, well, you know, this online radio. So a little of tonight's show is going to be about online radio. And as it persists today and as it's going to persevere tomorrow, there's going to be a lot of changes, y'all. So just get ready. But right now, let me tell you a little bit about Mr. Andre's Advice show tonight. I'm mad as hell and I'm not taking it anymore. How many times have you said it? And how often did you mean it? I submit to you too many. Because quite often you were speaking to someone that had heard it before or really don't give a. Yeah, y'all got me. I didn't put nothing in the jar either. You might not solve your situation, but you will learn new rules to the game. More tonight at 6:30 p.m. on the Bunton Rising Radio Show with your host tonight, Andre, Doc Morgan, Uncle Billy, and the Bunton Rising Radio team. Call in with your thoughts and opinions at 1-646-668-8263. And remember, when you say I'm mad as hell and I'm not taking no more, you must attach, and I'm going to do something about it. Thanks, and I'll holler. And leave a great opening for Andre and his advice. Y'all have a great evening. Thank you. Andre, are you there? Andre, don't tell me you clocked in and you went to sleep on me. I thought I was talking smack. Where you are? I almost said, where you at? Yeah, all of that in the bag of chips. You know, this is your night to talk, and I want to hear you. So give me some feedback. Let me know what's up. Andre. Well, it looks like I'm going to have to talk a little bit more about Rihanna's tickets. until I hear something different, I just don't know, you know. I did what I do best. Hello.
Andre. Hey. I'm sorry. Yeah. I had technical difficulties. I was talking, but I guess it wasn't being received. But,
I always have technical difficulties on this thing. That's the reason I'm switching up. That's another story. That's another book.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm having too many technical difficulties that I don't know nothing about. You know what I'm saying? And when you don't know about them, and the radio station won't let you ask nobody about it.
Well, it's like you taught me a long time ago, Dad, that if you don't have the spectators and the haters, then you can't be a player.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if you have just the players and the haters with no spectators, it ain't even a game. They out there just talking good game.
That's more like a conversation.
But then when you put the spectators on, the cheerleaders.
Now
we got to show who game is the best.
Yeah, but I call it all war, you know, because anything is fair in love and war.
yeah.
I was just telling somebody about me and my family earlier, you know. It dates all the way back to, I don't mean, in 1800s. And I'm very proud of my heritage because I heard about my Uncle Pontiel and my granddaddy Pontiel, man. Henry Pontiel out of South Carolina, potato farmer, you know. I heard talk about how tough he was way back. He was a slave. So, you know, all of that in the bag. But the thing is that you? Consumed hate, God bless, and all of that.
Oh, man, thank you. Thank you.
You know, I had a cold a couple of weeks ago, and remember, I couldn't get up.
Something's in there.
The other week when you were sick, remember, you might not have had enough antibiotics. I don't know, but I ain't talking about that. Tonight, we talking about Andre's advice, and I'm mad as hell that I ain't taking no more, and let's get it all out tonight. Then about something you don't like. And tell Dad all about it. That's what you do.
That's right. Homesick. I mean, this is the night where I give the mic to the people, and I want to know what makes you homesick. What you want to know? What makes you grow? Just talk about what makes you sick at home. You know? If it's kids, if it's the parents, if it's the grandparents, give us a call in, 646-668-8263. Please call in and let us know what makes you homesick. Well, today, Dad, check this out. I had an encounter of the very unique, how shall I say this? It was a very unique situation. Okay. So, this guy, he actually was picking up something that was owed to him from me. okay? And I had been holding his check for, a couple of weeks. I know for sure a week, more than a week, but I know for sure a week. So, but I mean, the attitude was like, I'm bawling, I like to get people out the way.
Yeah.
So, I appreciate the confidence and the trust in me, right, that the person have in me to hold the monies.
I hold enough money.
I don't get paid for that.
That's right.
And it's an institution that makes money off money, and I'm not no criminal. You taught me better than that. Don't be no criminal. Charge money for money. You charge money for work, and work for money. So, in produce, I understood the concept when you gave me the game, you know. You taught me the birds and the bees, and, you know, it was not manly like for people. I mean, this person, man, he wanted to
Why you trying to figure out what to say? I'm going to put a little more on your plate. Why were you holding another man's money?
Exactly. But see, I have to think about the Bible, and I'm checking balances. I have mail, incoming mail and outgoing mail, and that's just the way it goes. But this mail one is just sitting on my desk, and it's not outgoing, and it's not income, and I mean, I can mail it, but it's going to cost me even more. And then, it's going to inconvenience me to even send it. And it's going, I'm not trying to cook, but I did it this way. And I held down to it. So I want to know, was I wrong for being disgruntled? Because I was sick.
I might not have told you. I think I did tell you, but I might not have, because I kind of like telling this story. I remember when I was a very young man, 9, 10 years old. I was going out to my daddy's. I might have been slightly older. You know, I might have been 11 or 12 then. I knew I wasn't 12, so I might have been 11. I was going out to my daddy's to get my weekly allowance, I called it, because, you know, he was very fortunate to have a little detail shop with car dealerships surrounding his location and all of that there. So he was a great entrepreneur. And so I'd go over to get my allowance money, and he'd be up there washing cars. He said, "Son, if you wash cars with me, I'll give you $100. This was in the 60s. Might have been still in the 50s. So anyhow, yeah, about 1960. And He said, son, if you wash cars with me, I'll give you $100. He was already going to give me $50. And so I said, shit, I don't need no $100. You know, you give me that, I'm saying this to myself. You give me that $50, I'm going to go turn that $50 into a $200. Playing cards, you know, shooting dice, you know, doing what he had unconsciously taught me. Because when I would walk in his house sometime on Saturday evening, and sometimes early in the day on Saturday, after he'd get through washing cars and stuff, he had a poker game going, a tonk game going, and a dice game going. And so, and it wasn't a disrespectful type game, so I could sit down there and do whatever. I don't think he had no TV. I wasn't no TV fanatic, but I had cousins all around the area. And so anyhow, I walked in his house one time and went early on one Saturday morning, going to get my $50, and he was playing poker. And he had dropped one of the cards on the floor. Had nobody seen it, and I was arriving as it was dropping. So I went, stepped on it, bent over, pick it up, and put it back on his knee like a good son should. And I reached into his stack of money. I really, to this date, don't remember how much I got. But I got more than 50. And I walked on back out the door and I left. Went to the fair, did a whole lot of stuff. Partied like hell, partied like it was 1999. This 1960. Fair had just started letting us in on other days and stuff like that. I believe, or if not, we partied like it was when we did go in. But anyhow, so the next Saturday, I went back over there. That old man, and he wasn't that old at that time, he grabbed me in my collar, and I was just a little boy. But I was grown on the inside. He grabbed me in my collar, and he said, look here, little nigga. And I'm sorry about the N word, but you got to quote your parents verbatim so everybody will get to understand it. That he still loved me, but he was teaching me a fact. He said, look here, little nigga. You don't never stick your hand in another man's money and turn your back. He said, but since you was mine, I let you ride with that. But I'm going to tell you something else. You ever stick your hand in my money again, and he said it a little differently than I'm saying it, I'll take you out of here. And he wasn't talking about outside. So from that point on, I didn't even like holding other people. You know how your friends will tell you, yeah, man, hold this for me. I might lose it. Hold your own money. If you don't have the discipline to hold your own money, you don't need it. And I'm not going to babysit your money just because you won't come pick your check up because you bawling and calling and falling and doing all that stuff, trying to highball and lowball and all that stuff. I would make it my point to get in touch with you as soon as possible because I will send your money back to the bank or something. I don't want your money. I don't need your money. And I'm not going to watch your money. It's just like a lie. I ain't going to lie to you, for you, or about you. And I am not going to hold your money. And to that end, I got that point across. You got 35 minutes to make your point about whatever it is you want to make your point about tonight, because I'm trying to tell you, we got some balling to do this weekend and next weekend, because guess what? It's on and popping, young fella.
What's going down?
out of good news for you, but I can't put it on the air yet because, you know, you got to tease them before you please them.
Yes, right. That's right. Well, I mean, everything is, I mean, I wanted to make sure that the people stay, the topic was homesick and stay, and just remember that I wanted to be a kind of wishy-washy, back and forth type of homesick or sick at home, and just think, okay,
You should have told your cousins to call in. You should have called all your family members and told them to call in, because that's where you get most of your watching stuff from. See, you got to know your audience, poodle. What you do is this is like the direct target market. Pick your audience.
I'm saying this because you had me really thinking back when you was talking about that money. I remember the smell. I don't know. It just had that smell. And I associated that with you and my mama. So I'm trying to understand how deep being homesick, man, this thing is like encrypted. Better than the best encrypted computer.
Yeah, well, see, me and your cousin, Eric, we were talking about homesick today. And I was telling him how homesick I am not to be in Buntown. But starting next week, like I keep saying, and I hate repeating myself, I'm going to be in Buntown. But, you know, it's going to take time. It's going to take effort. And it's going to take preparation. You know, I just couldn't come down and stay an hour and then leave, disappear. I want to leave an impression and let you know that, yeah, that's the same old ass Uncle Bill that was down there. I was just a lot younger then. But I'm the same dude. No change, same thing. And so when we come down there, like I said, the Rihanna flies are out down there. They're hidden. They're working. I want to see how many folk going to call in tomorrow night. I was hoping for some tonight. I got to get some set up to take with me to dialysis on Saturday. And, you know, let people see what I'm doing, what I'm trying to accomplish. Because a lot of people think I'm faking and shaking. Because I ain't did nothing. You see what I'm saying? So I'm complaining about the people that's complaining about me. Because it don't fit. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm not accomplishing that much. Because every time I take 5 steps forward, I take 35 back. So, you know, it's got to stop sometime, some kind of way. Stop, break the cycle. So that's the reason on this last part I put, you might not solve your situations, but you will learn new rules to the game. You see what I'm saying? I'm learning new rules to the game. Folk don't know it. I don't got the same faith in some people that I had last week. I don't got the same faith in some people that I had yesterday. You know, so when people listen to this, and they've been listening on Facebook, I'm here to tell you. They've been listening on Facebook. Wait till I bust my Twitter account open. Folks going to say, God damn. Because it takes preparation, and you got to be prepared when you come into people's lives with something new. Because people are afraid of change. You know, you're scared to go from 104 to 107 on the radio. Well, see, on online radio, online TV, which we will be coming to you soon with, online TV, yeah, y'all don't hear me, but we coming. But people don't want to change, you know, and I know for a fact I ain't coming on the Wednesday night with Empire on. I ain't too much going to come on Thursday night with Scandal on. Y'all don't hear me? But I'm not competing with nobody. If I have to come on at 6 o'clock in the morning, I ain't going to be up against Golden Gate, not with the same kind of message. Y'all don't hear me? But I'm just telling y'all some facts. And, you know, so you solve your own problems as soon as you can, and you solve those problems that you foresee coming right now. You know, sit now, Scooter.
Yes.
No, just said now.
Now.
That was all ago. You know, your future is in front of you. Now, now is almost like a past tense. Soon as it comes out your mouth, your present has changed. You see what I'm getting at? So
exactly.
You got to change some of the things that you know by looking forward at your goals and what you're representing. What kind of changes you gonna have to make in advance, damn near. And that's what I'm trying to get most people to understand. You keep looking at your present, where you are. Well, if you keep looking at your present, you're gonna end up being in your past. Which a lot of people want to be. I learned so much today sitting here by myself for 15, 20 minutes about computers. It'll blind you. You wouldn't be amazed because you know me. But most people would be amazed on how much I learned in 15, 20 minutes about the computer. And, you know, I dropped out of school in the 8th grade. See what I'm saying? So when you're talking about now, that was a while ago. That's it, already in your past. So the future is now. And if you keep on messing with it, it's going to be now. You know, it's going to be right upon you, and you ain't playing nothing. You ain't got prepared for nothing. And it's right upon you, hitting you dead in the face. That's the reason you said go. That's the reason you said what kind of problems might I have, you know, and what I'm going to do when they come here. Yeah, it's all right to be complaining about something that you didn't like back then, but you got to stop it and leave it there. If you didn't solve them problems then and you was able to leave them back there, what the hell you going to open them up for now? You come talking to me about the same problems you had over and over again, I'm going to tell you keep that trash at home.
Yeah,
I got enough trash. I got enough trash. Don't come dump your damn trash in my yard.
I've been really looking out and just really thinking about how life is, and it just make me just want to push. And persuade people to just tune in and you know, like I say, I give this scrambling, I get this a night like this, what I call a scrambling night, you know, with no direction, you know.
That's the great part about what we do. We are information specialists. But let me make this perfectly clear. Let's start talking about something relevant enough to where people won't keep going back to the past. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's the basic point that I'm getting at, because if you complaining about something happened yesterday, you didn't get it solved, how in the hell did you sleep last night?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? You know, the Bible even, if you go to bed with a problem, you're going to wake up with a problem.
That's right.
So, you know, you got to take all of that and make it relevant. Why am I still going through this? Because I didn't get it solved. Or first thing you got to ask yourself, do I want to get it solved? Why didn't I get it solved? You know what I'm saying? You got to make it relevant enough for you to keep going back to it. And if you keep going back to it, you ain't doing shit about it. So you might as well, like the good book says, that in which I can't control, I can't let bother me. If I got a problem I can't do nothing with, I got one thing, I tell you this. I put it in the hand of the man that can, and I leave it the hell alone. I don't go back and get it. Don't care what it is, what it was. If it's bad enough for me not to be able to solve it, put it in the hand of the man that can. I put it in the hand of my Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I'm not going to keep fighting, losing battles. I was telling somebody just today, pick your fights very well. Because if you didn't pick somebody else's fight, you already losing. That's their fight. They already prepared. You ain't prepared.
Thank you, Daddy.
That is the relevance of it. Don't get in somebody else's fight if they don't know where they're going. If they ain't ready to fight, then hell, you getting on a losing team. And you ain't supposed to get jump on no losing team. You're not used
Thank
to losing.
For teaching me discipline. Discipline helps to make a person gauge themselves with a moral compass. So then they make better decisions, wiser decisions, even in their momentum, they get stronger. So
That's why I really
appreciate the love and the knowledge, because see, so many young men go through life with animosity on their heart.
Oh yeah.
And
don't even know why sometimes. I told you, I was an angry young man when I met my daddy. I mean, I was really angry because my sisters had brainwashed me into thinking that my daddy was a no good nigga. And that's just the way they said it. So since they dead, I'm going to have to use it just in verbatim like they said. Excuse the N-word. But, yeah, they had brainwashed, man. So when I met him, he said, come out and see me, boy. I told him, I used to tell people. He called me boy so much, I started to call him Tom. So, and that's the way it was. And so, but when I really got out there, I saw the respect that my daddy had from everybody around the neighborhood. Like I said, I had about 20-some cousins over there in the neighborhood that was from my mama's side. So I was well-protected, well-defended, and everything. I mean gangster cousin. I had a cousin named Teen. That's all I ever knew her name was. That's all I ever called her. She died quite a few years back. But, I mean, I loved me some Teen. She owned a big rooming house. Had about 30-some rooms. And she had them all rented out. So she didn't have to worry about getting up, doing so-and-so, so-and-so. All she had to worry about was them paying their rent. And everybody she rented out to, she already knew. So she knew who was going to pay and who wouldn't. wouldn't let the ones that wouldn't pay move in. You hear me? So all of her rooms were full on a regular basis, and she kept a couple of rooms that was for family and friends if they got caught in the neighborhood and whatever. So I used one on a real regular basis. And plus, she had a little liquor store. Black woman with a liquor store in North Dallas, man, you talking about money, honey. Yeah, she had enough people in 2 days coming up so she could stay closed the rest of the week. And she knew I was a little nipper, you know, even though I wasn't but 9, 10, 11 years old. I loved me a little gin every now and then because it wasn't no sin. And so I would go with the teens and sit around. It was just like a, it was just like it used to be like a little malt shop or something with the seats in front of the bar. And stuff like that, like it used to be a bar. But it was really like it used to be a smoke-on room, a smoke-on thing on the inside, you know, with seats. But they were down on the end, but a liquor store was up front. And I'd go back and sit on the little stool and spin till the store was empty. And then I'd tell her, teen, I want my gin because it ain't no thing. And she would give me my little nip, my little half a faint. And I would go on about my business. Couldn't let nobody see me. So I had to go up to my room and take me a nip and hide it up under the bed and all that kind of stuff. So anyhow, by the time I was 12, I was an alcoholic, true and true. But I was a fun alcoholic. So anyhow, that's the kind of stuff that I did. And I learned different things about that put me on the road to talking to my daddy, like, you know, because all he ever said was he talked in poems and in analytical terms all the time. He would say stuff like, boy, don't complain, don't explain. Dad, I'm 9 years old. What you talking about? He wouldn't tell me. He said, it'll come to you. But, you know, it was that kind of stuff that allowed me to keep continuing learning from him and at a fast pace sometimes. Because on the nights he gambled and stuff, you could see how much the people in his gambling games and stuff respected him and went on. And then one night I was sitting there, I think I was watching the Tonk game or one of, I was watching the Tonk game because I played a lot of Tonk. And they had a crap game going down in the floor. And this young dude come in, you know, almost memories of some of the things I lived and did later in life. I mean, almost perfect, equal to what I had experienced when I was young, my daddy going through. And this young dude kept cussing. He had been drinking. He kept cussing folk out and calling them the B word and stuff like that. My daddy kept saying, boy, quit cussing in here now and disrespecting these men. And the young boy, okay, Mr. Marcus. And he cussed one time and he called him, he called my daddy, one of my daddy's friends, the B word. And my daddy stood up. He said, now, boy, I done told you, and the young dude stood up. He was tall. My daddy was kind of short of stature, you know, but had the biggest arms than any man I'd ever saw till I saw Hulk Hogan. So my daddy looked at him and said, boy, didn't I tell you stop disrespecting these men? I let you come in here and play in my game. And as he was walking toward the young boy was backing up, you know. And soon as my daddy hit him, knocked him to his knees, and he, you know, you could tell he was real woozy. He said, now, boy, did I tell you? And he drug him on outside and slapped him upside the head a few times. He said, I'm going to tell you, and this is going to be your last time. If you ever come back in here again to play in my game, and you don't come apologizing and respecting folk, I'm going to kill you. And the next week that boy was in that game, he was so respectful. He was so respectful, you thought he was in a church house. But and then my dad always had a posse too. You know, people around him had his back at all odds. And I could call some names, but too many people might remember, and I don't want to get nobody at no disadvantage. Because my dad had a posse. If he walked out his door, he had partners out there waiting on him to go do what he normally do, make his rounds and do what he do, because that's what my daddy did. And so I've been for 50-some years trying to emulate my daddy and walk around and watch TV, play dominoes, and do what I do. And you, son, are going to make it possible. And I am proud of you, and I greatly appreciate it. And I just want to let you know that daddy loves you.
Well, everything just is in due time, and I mean, I'm honored to even be the one. I mean, who am I to even accept this position? And I mean, the gratitude is off the charts coming from me. I'm living a life that I thought, I never imagined that a life could be so adventurous. You know, you could, some people pay for a reenactment of an adventure or a stimulation. Fabrication of an adventure. Well, I'm to say that God has really blessed me, and with the rules that you gave me, I mean, I was able to just, I guess, play and lose and not be angry. This is a tricky place to be like that, because in this world, you know, they say some people that they have they want to be heard, or they need, they're needy, or they're the exact opposite, or are they introvert? They don't want people around them. In this day, I want the people to know that it is very important that we share, we love, we stick to the basics, and we remember the old teachings, I mean, you can innovate only a little bit before it's really it's diluted to the point to where you can't even navigate anymore. But I'm telling you, what you have handed down to my generation is golden. Don't ever, ever doubt your faith. Don't ever doubt your perception. And when you see those men and women falling in the news, in the street, on the radio, when you hear about these tragedies, that are coming about, I want you to know that I understand. And now I can help people to compartmentalize the lifestyle, how to put things in perspective. When God called me, I've been called a lot of names because of the games that I played, you know, because I played a lot of games. And, you know, I watch you closely, Dad, and I mean, and your constituents, and I also took a twist, and you know, each generation gets wiser and weaker, the Bible says, and so I wanted to always give reverence to my father, you know, and let him know that, you know, what you passed on is golden. And I'm so homesick to the point that I could hear my sisters and brothers being taken advantage of, and I shed a tear because, I mean, I look at this black woman and I'm like, man, she don't even know. She could beat a white girl with a feather. she could beat her with a feather with her eyes closed. See, the white girl loves the black girl.
Yeah, cause they learn from what we start getting out of some of the things we do, Andre, is we part with the knowledge we've been given so easily. Remember the rules of the game. Remember the game you're playing from the time you born to the time you die is the game of life.
That's right.
And what you give away, you never get back in return, for the simple reason, if you give it to the wrong person, it ain't coming back. It's just like that dollar that stay out your neighborhood more than it stay in. You remember what I told you about that too? So
yes,
it's the same thing, my son. If you give it away, them people will easily take it. Where the blues music go? Why don't people relish the blues like they used to in the United States? But they love it all over the world in other countries. You see what I'm saying? It's the same thing about our knowledge, our culture, and stuff like that. People on the surface don't eat the food we eat. I had lunch one time with the president of AT&T. It used to be AT&T, Southwest and Bell, you know, all of that. But with the president of AT&T at Clara's Kitchen on Grand Avenue, you know. So that was later. That's not when she was on exposition. So she had bought this place over on, and one of my good friends that worked for AT&T, she had opened up a man's clothing store over on FitzU. All of this here, same time, was when I was popping and stopping. Yeah, you know, making it all with both fists. And so I'm having lunch with him, and the first thing he said was, somebody had told him, you know, some of the brothers in his office or something, well, boss, when you get over there, that's Clara's Kitchen, make sure you taste their chitlins and greens and candied yam and beans. And, man, he had that table full, and you should have seen, man, that man ate like he had never eaten before in his life. And so, you know, when you get to seeing these things, how happy they can be with you then you get to thinking that you can do that again, you can do that again. And you can, but you always stop yourself. To God be the glory. You ain't did nothing. You
That's
ain't
right.
did nothing God didn't want you to do. But you're going to play in that arrogant role, and that's where you get popped because you keep thinking you did it. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
So, son, you got 5 minutes to do your commentary, then I'm going to do a quick one, and we're going to get out of here because guess what? Scandal coming on.
That's right. That's right.
Use your 5 minutes of fame.
Well, I want to let the people know that it's going to be it's been a hectic week.
I got the Rihanna flyers here too. I wish you was here so I could give you some.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Hold on. Eric ain't seen you in so long. I think Eric want to see you. But we'll talk about that after you use your 5 minutes. Come on, because my commentary is going to blow all of it out the box.
I'm letting know that we will be powered by Out of Sight Radio. It will be coming soon.
Out of Sight Radio.
Young and fresh.
Yeah.
Resourceful radio.
What's going to distinguish that?
Huh?
What's going to distinguish Out of Sight Radio? Is it going to be for the visually impaired to learn how to maneuver in the world of the sight? And the sight to, get into the world of the blind.
Out of Sight Radio is for everybody, it's very descriptive, like you said. It's very descriptive because my condition is I'm totally blind, and I want the world to see that without sight, you gain insight, and I want you to just follow me and challenge yourself every day. Small battle, small task. Win a war here and there in your daily life and be successful. I promise to empower the people, love the people, treat the people right, respect the people. Give them what you want. So, I love y'all. If y'all need anything as far as where to go get it, guess what? Ask Uncle Billy.
I'm ask Uncle Billy, and I'm about to tell you all that God dog me. We've been telling y'all about the Rihanna concert tickets, and the flyers are being passed out. They have numbers on there. If you don't use them, you're going to lose them because Doc going to end up passing the tickets out to somebody that don't deserve them. And like I said, y'all know me. Y'all know I wish Erica would win these tickets, but Erica can't do that. Erica ain't even got no concerts coming up here no time soon. So anyhow, yeah, y'all know who I'd give them to, and you better be glad I'm not over them anyhow. So with that being said, the flyers are going out. We're going to see how many people we get a response from. We're going to see where this takes us. And Bunton Rising Radio is about to bust. We're about to bust and cut loose. And we just having fun over here because we got the distribution manager of Bunton Rising Radio sitting here eating dinner,
right,
having fun and flashing. So it's up to y'all because guess what? My day is over because y'all know what time it is. Y'all know Scandal finna come on. So I can't play 10 long years a night because I don't got enough. But guess what? It's Bunton time, y'all. So y'all can just holler. Yeah.
was wrapped up in clover. The night I looked at you, I found a dream that I could speak to, a dream that I can call my own. I found a thrill to press my cheek to, a thrill that I
Robert,
they let the drug